Does anybody remember what we talked about last week? Just by chance. Humility? Humbleness? Probably everybody forgotten the story by now, I take it, right? Oh. Swing set, cable lines, backing up, that sort of deal. Joe remembers. Thanks, Joe. The point of that was having the heart of a humble servant. And the week before, we talked about having the heart of a child. And the week before that, we talked about faith like a child. And what it all comes down to is we're talking about the heart. And over the past few months, that's kind of what we've been focusing on. Does anybody know why we've been focusing on the heart so much? Valentine's Day? No. God didn't make Valentine's Day, all right? We'll just set that out right now, I think. But I'm not allowed to not practice that holiday, so. What did you say? It's what motivates us. Our heart is kind of our engine. Where we go, we talked about how the eye is a lamp for the heart. What the eye focuses on makes the body either good or bad. Anybody else? We're talking about the heart because we've talked about having a heart like Christ. We talked about prayer, and the heart is so important because we want to go deeper spiritually, don't we? We want to grow spiritually, and if we don't grow spiritually, this church can't grow in numbers because the church spiritually has to support new people coming in, lifting them up as a family. We need to grow strong, and it's what we're called to do as Christians individually and as a church corporately. So we need to lift each other up. So we're talking about the heart because the heart is the medium between which we commune with God, isn't it? Through Jesus Christ in our hearts. And we talked about how we have Jesus in our hearts, but sometimes there's some closets that we keep closed, and we're like, well, you can have all of this space, but you can't have what's in here. But what God desires is our whole heart 100% cleaned out for Him. Things that we need to work through them with Him. So that as we have that relationship that God worked so hard for us to be able to have with Him, we can have the best relationship with Him that we can, the cleanest, the clearest. What do you do? We're going to talk about the heart again today. What do you do when your heart is heavy laden? What do you do when your heart is filled with hurt or anger or disappointment? What do you do when you see something happening that affects you and the ones you love and you're burdened with sorrow? If you would like to turn, go ahead and turn to James chapter 5, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But this is an area of the heart that is difficult to talk about because mostly as people, we don't really want to go there, do we? Because pain is difficult to deal with. Hurt is difficult to deal with. But if we don't deal with it, remember that one Sunday we dropped that little drop of food coloring in that big, wonderful jar of mine? And that one little drop of food coloring changed the whole jar. And that's what hurt and anger can do for you. If you don't work through it, if you don't work it out of your heart, it will change your whole perspective. And as Christ said in Matthew, He said, the eye is a lamp for the body. When you're looking at light, your body is light. When you're looking at darkness, you're in the darkness. But if you're in the darkness and you think you're in the light, how deep that darkness must be. And I think about that, and that is scary to me because I have been in a place in my life where I was in the darkness, but I thought it was the light. And I know people who are in the darkness, but they think they're in the light. How deep that darkness must be. What do you do when your heart is burdened? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 in the Beatitudes says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And Paul talks about in Thessalonians about how our focus, we will have times of sadness. We will have times when things hurt, when there's death. There's just things that happen that we cannot account for. And when we don't understand them, Paul says our focus is to be on the second coming of Christ. Because our time here on the earth is just a short time, but he says you need to mourn. He says, don't put it away. Keep it out here where we can take care of it, where God can heal you, where you can work through it and you can have that relationship because it will turn into something else. James chapter 5, verse 13. Are any of you suffering hardships? you should pray. This is the New Living Translation. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of your church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The Bible says many things about when you're dealing with trials, when you're dealing with temptations, when you're dealing with hurts. In James, it says to persevere through your trials, it builds character. It says not to worry, but to pray. In Philippians, to mourn when you're hurting. In Matthew, focus on the second coming of the Lord. In Thessalonians, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The Bible says a lot of things about what to do when you're hurting. It says a lot of things about what to do when you need comfort. In Isaiah, it says, comfort, comfort. I will comfort my people. I am the comforter. It says where to come, who to go to. But the things in life that hurt us, that cause us pain, we don't understand. The Bible says take it to the Lord. But the thing this morning, is about how important it is to keep the heart maintained, to clear it out and empty all the closets so Christ can be in the whole of your heart. The question is, what do you do when the pain or sorrow or bitterness in your heart causes you to be angry with God? That's the question, because we're in relationships with people, and you know when you really care about somebody. Like in my marriage with my wife, I really care about her. We had some serious growing pains in the first 3 years of our marriage. We worked very hard. We read books. We should have gone to counseling to learn how to love one another better and to learn how to deal with things, because when one person would cause hurt, we would put it away. And then it would finally explode and go blah, and it would just, that whole don't let the sun go down on an angerment. Or don't let the sun go down on an argument or when you're angry. My wife firmly believes that. Very firmly. I think it's more don't go to bed, because the sun was down a long time ago and we were still working stuff out. So when we care about somebody, we want to work it out, don't we? We take it to them and we work through it. But what do you do when the one whom you're supposed to be comforted by is the one that hurt you? Or the one that is causing, that you feel is causing the anger inside of you. Now, this is something that's very, depending on your relationship with God. Maybe you've never been angry with God. Maybe you haven't, you worked it out. But if you were like me, maybe you were thinking, before I had any problems with God, my relationship was great. I was a young Christian. God was giving me everything I needed to keep me going and to keep me excited. And I was going somewhere with that. But, there was this Jars of Clay song, and I love, has anybody heard the band Jars of Clay? There's a song that they had on their 11th Hour CD, and the song talked about, God, where are you? It was all about, you know, being, wondering where God is, being hurt, and saying, where are you? Where are you in my life? Why aren't you taking this away? And I would listen to that song, and I was almost like, that's blasphemy. You don't question where God is. You know God's there, don't you? Because it teaches you in the Bible that God is magnificent. He's omnipresent. He will never leave you. Even if his presence is pulled from you, he is still there. It's a time of trials and sufferings. You don't question that, right? Maybe just talking about being angry with God makes the hair stand up on you. I know it did for me. You may be thinking, forgive him, Lord. Forgive him, magnificent one. You can't be angry with God because he is perfect. Now, that was my reaction. When I got angry with God, it was because of a period of deep pain in my life. People you love sometimes fail you, and the pain can be deep enough to look at the Almighty One and say, why didn't you stop this? Why didn't you answer my prayers? Wasn't my faith strong and my heart earnest, as it says in James? See, there was a time when I was angry with God, but because I was taught by so many to fear God in the sense of reverence and awe. I was taught that God is always right, and I knew all these things in my head. I knew it. I said, God, you're always there. I know you're here for me. I know you're going to heal me. I know that you're holding me. But my heart was saying something else. It was saying, I'm mad at you. I'm hurt. I don't know what to deal with, how to deal with this. I don't know what to do with this because I know what I'm supposed to think. So how am I not feeling what I'm supposed to think? And I think as people, we all go through this, if we're honest with ourselves. If you go through a trial in life, there are things that are not explained. Sometimes people try to explain them away, but I'm not one to try to explain things of the Lord. He has a different view than we do. But what do we do when the one whom is your comforter is the one that you feel hurt by? What I did was I stuck it in a closet and I locked the door and I pretended it wasn't there. I healed my relationships with those who had caused the hurt. It was of a different situation, but it affected me also. That was when I was in Abilene College. I was leading worship for thousands of people that year. Every Monday and Wednesday, 3,000 people would come into this chapel and I'd lead worship. And I was like, I had this thing in the closet, but my whole life exemplified that I trusted God, that I had faith in God, that He held me, and that He was my rock and my salvation. I was doing all this stuff, but that thing was still in the closet. And if you read in Matthew what Christ says to the Pharisees are getting on the apostles for not washing their hands before they eat, not eating kosher foods. And Jesus says, nothing that you eat can make you unclean. Only what comes out of you makes you unclean. The words that you say. So here I am. Everything that I was doing was basically just sticking to the rules. Everything that I was doing wasn't what was really in my heart because in my heart I had this pain. So my actions were just my actions. It's the same thing that the Pharisees were doing when they put so much emphasis on what you do. Wash your hands, eat kosher food. Christ was saying, what's important is what's in here. Your heart is what I care about. And so I stuck that thing in the closet and I just pretended it wasn't there and I did everything that I was supposed to do because I was not going to disappoint my God by being hurt by Him. I was not going to be disappointed. I was not going to disappoint God and tell Him that I was hurting and that my faith was hurting. No, I put it away. I said, I will deal with that. I will take care of it. But it didn't work. It just didn't work. You guys know how pain, when you leave it alone, it builds. And that closet door pretty soon started to buckle. And if it had been a solid core door, it might have held longer, but it wasn't. And it was, it just, one day the whole door just broke and it spilled out all over into my heart. It was just, ah! You know, I look back now, but man, back then I was in a hurtful place. And a lot of it was because of what I did by putting that pain away. So I had all this pain and everything that exploded in my heart. I was mad at God. I felt ashamed. I felt like I failed God because I was doubting His love. I wasn't trusting and I had lost my faith. But I learned a lot through that experience. I learned that God desired a real relationship with me, one that didn't hide my feelings. I discovered that for my relationship with God to be real, I needed to take off my sanctimonious mask. Now, that's a Quaker word, isn't it? Big, fancy, sanctimonious. Now, I had to take off that facade that I was wearing. I had to lay down. I had to get off the stage, and I had to spend some time with God, lay it all down, and say, this is who I really am. God calls us to take off our masks. We come to church. Maybe we're having a bad day, but it's pretty easy to put on a smile, right? I'm a church goer. Oh, come on. I've done that. God wants us to take off our sanctimonious masks and be angry. He wants us to be depressed and anything else considered bad because how else are you supposed to work through it with God? Because we are children, aren't we? Those of you who have children, has your kid ever been mad at you? What happens if you don't keep that communication open with your child? Don't you lose the child? If you don't have those lines open? God wants that line open, and that line is our heart. God calls us to seek him wholeheartedly. As it says in Jeremiah, when you seek me with your whole hearts, you will find me. He desires a relationship that involves your whole heart no matter what. I learned that in my personal relationship with God, I was allowed to be human and that I could work through anything with God. So many times we go to God for strength and guidance when we need to gripe about someone else in another relationship. Oh, God, I need strength, or oh, they need help, or oh, this and that, and to help us with our relationships. But most important to God is our relationship with him. I want you to think about this. How do we know that our personal relationship with God is so important to him? Do you think that God would have gone through so much trouble? Do you remember the Old Testament? Do you remember the New Testament? Do you think God would go through so much trouble and send his son to be sacrificed if he didn't want to have that relationship with you be as best as it could be? Does that show how much God cares about us? Now, I cannot explain why things happen, but I can promise that there is healing and comfort in the arms of the Lord. Isaiah 43:1 says, I have redeemed you, I have called you by name. Child, you are mine. Though you walk through the waters, and though you walk through the fires, you will not drown and you will not be burned, for I am with you always. I am the Lord your God. You know, I fought this message all week. Monday, this message came to me while I was sitting at my desk and I wrote it out. And I put it away. I said, I can't do that. And all week long, it was kind of nudging at me until finally I just started looking through the Bible. I'm like, I got to preach on something. But I can't preach if my heart is not connected, and my heart was not connected. And when I came back to this, I said, this is right. I don't want to do it. Because it is difficult to talk about, because God is magnificent. God is omnipresent. He is there. He is our great Father who sent his Son to be our Savior. But sometimes the things that we know don't line up with our hearts. But if we spend the time with God, and if we go to him, I found that through my relationship with him, when I really started seeking him truthfully out of my whole heart, see, I wanted God to heal that, but I wasn't going to bring it to him. But when you open up all the doors and you lay your whole heart before God, that's when you can be healed. And I know that there are people with hidden hurts in their hearts. I know that we all bury things from time to time. If you want to grow with the Lord, you have to heal. If your heart is laden, if your heart is burdened, you have to take it to the Lord to be comforted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to be near you, and we want to have our hearts as clean as we can as we have this personal relationship with you, Lord, a personal relationship with a God, with the God, the Almighty God. But we are still human. Forgive us for the times when we don't understand and our heart is upset. When we are burdened in it. And if we have things that we have kept from you, Lord, as we bring them to you, receive us and heal our hearts, Lord, from our deepest needs. We are your body. We are your children. Guide us and direct us in your ways and in your wills. In your name we pray, amen.